You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hey, all right. We're broadcasting live on 8:80 a.m., but you can look for me on the Jim Freed YouTube show, YouTube station, and also on Facebook. The computer just keeps on making all kinds of noises. We've got my great friend on here, Jonathan Eisman. Jonathan set the tone on Lincoln Road with his famous restaurant, Pacific Time. All the fancy people, all the big shots went there. I even went there a couple times. And now he's got a consulting gig with me. We talked to high net worth people about how to help them turn $10 million in their restaurant into $1 million. I'll let Jonathan tell you how. And then the other part we're going to do is we're going to talk about placemaking, because a lot of these restaurants help the place change. That's what Pacific Time did to Lincoln Road. That's what Joey's did in Wynwood. And there'll be other locations that's going to happen at too as it comes up. But Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, so Jonathan, you got your start up in Nueva York. Where'd you get your start at, and how'd that happen?
Well, like a lot of people, start in high school with a part-time job, and then being from a family of overeducated college folks, I didn't go to college, and I got stuck in the restaurant business and found out somehow that I was good at it, and I got better at it, and 35 or so years later, I was still in it and developed the greatest restaurant Miami's ever seen, Pacific Time.
Yeah, I have to think that that's true. Now, Pacific Time was located on Lincoln Road. How did you decide you wanted to open up on Lincoln Road? At the time, it was sort of a ghost town, I'd even say.
There wasn't a single human being on Lincoln Road, and I had an allergy to Lincoln Road. I'm very blessed that I had three partners who were in South Beach in the late 80s. I got here about 1990, 91. And they dragged me kind of kicking, screaming to Lincoln Road. I said, I had no interest. There's nobody here. We need to be on Ocean Drive. That's where we need to be. And we walked into this restaurant, which was formerly a Chinese restaurant called BC Chong. And I had a somewhat Asian concept. And we walked in, and the place was closed and gloomy and dark and horrendous. And we opened a little kitchen door there. And lo and behold, it was set up to cook Asian food. And I said, this will do. And they all looked at each other and said, you got to be kidding me. And then couple weeks later, we signed a lease on Lincoln Road.
So you made an interesting comment. I want to take a step back. You walked into the kitchen, and the kitchen was set up. Aren't kitchens always set up?
No, I mean, you know, more and more now, I think, especially with specialty cooking, you know, every kitchen and every chef and every concept wants a specialty kitchen and has particular equipment they like to work with. But this wasn't the most modern facility in the world, but it was large. There was a lot of gas power. I could fit a lot of guys in it. It worked. We made it work.
So how did you create your concept for that restaurant, and how did it impact what happened on Lincoln Road?
Well, I mean, previously I was blessed and lucky to end up in New York City and Manhattan in the early 80s when the, you know, real culinary revolution was happening, and came to Miami around 1990 after being the chef at China Grill in New York City. And When the China Grill restaurant had one outlet, and Jeffrey Chaudhereau, who was one of the most successful restaurateurs in the country, had one chef. It was me. I was 27 years old.
I was friends with his cousin Charlie. His cousin Charlie went to school with me.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was the mid-80s in Manhattan, 61st Street and 51st Street and 6th Avenue. I was 27, 28 years old. We had 150 employees. We cooked great food. And I had this affinity for cooking Asian food, and had my own kind of forward-thinking ideas going on. And while I was there, I really developed the idea that became Pacific Time. It wasn't a plan. It was just an idea. And in business, I mean, there's a big difference between an idea and a plan. So my idea became something that lasted 17 years.
Well, that's something else I want to talk about, is the difference between an idea and a plan, because part of your business today, as you call it, Chef Force One, is not only to create the concept, but also to implement the business part. And this is where the joke comes in about the guy who started a restaurant with $10 million. The way he made $1 million was he started with 10 and got there. I always say it wrong.
Well, the best way to end up with $1 million is start with 5 or 10, and you'll be down to $1 million fast enough. But
there you go.
I mean, listen, the restaurant business is it's got a very low bottom line. You know, this is an old adage: you'll count the pennies and make the dollars. I really felt that if you watch the dollars, you'll make the pennies.
Okay.
It takes a lot of skill. I mean, sometimes profits, are single digit.
It's elusive.
which can be okay. I mean, listen, if you run a business for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and it's consistently profitable, it's nothing wrong with that. It's not necessarily going to produce 20 or 30% profit. But I think there's a big misconception in the real estate industry, in the real estate world, in the finance world, that every restaurant is an asset to real estate and every restaurant is a gold mine. It's not always that way. I mean, there is a great formula to put together where hospitality will add value to real estate, but it's a very careful formula that has to be done in a practiced manner.
Yeah, one of the things that I know is that I do a lot of these high-rise urban deals, and they all say we're going to do ground floor retail. One of the first ones I ever did had a Publix in it, and I remember the arm wrestling that kept going on because they wanted to put the main support beam in the frozen peas section.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, what it does is it drives to the point that all these guys I know, they're building all these high-rises and all these urban locations. They all want these restaurants. Are any of their designs compatible with the restaurant concept? Are they flexible enough, or is it really important to get in on the ground floor and make sure that it's designed so that the restaurant succeeds? Because I guess that you're teaching me that the design matters when it comes to the profitability of the restaurant.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, design in almost anything. I mean, you know, if you want a faster race car, it's got to be designed a certain way. Restaurants are very sensitive to design. And listen, how many times have you walked by some great new, you know, $200-$400 million development somewhere, and in the prime space on the bottom corner, you know, facing the street, it's for 3-4 years, it's just dirty windows with wires hanging out of the ceiling. And if all you see those when I walk by, I'm like, oh, there's another restaurant
coming soon.
You know, there's another restaurant that, you know, didn't even have a chance to make coming soon.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I have one of my developers says, I don't care, I just take their key money every time. I mean, it's just, you know, it seems to me like if somebody has a coordinated plan that they can replicate it in other locations, if it's sound, or is it really about the physical presence of the chef and the operator?
Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be. I think it starts, you know, in the brick and mortar. You have to design a place that's customer friendly, that works, that's well lit, that's clean, it has a good customer flow. And of course, then you have to have a product into it that people want. It's consistent and it's good. Not every restaurant has to have a celebrity chef. Not every restaurant has to be the best restaurant in the world. Not every restaurant has to be, you know, the highest Zagat rated thing on the planet. There are plenty of service restaurants. But, you know, bottom line is that you need to focus and you need to prepare properly before you try to open a restaurant. People think it's easy and it's not. It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back because I'm going to ask you some questions about some of the good stories you have about restauranting and stuff like that. I've seen you regale. I've heard you talk about them. They're great. So Wanda's going to put her headset on. She's going to play some music. We're going to come back. We're going to pay some bills and we're going to hear some excellent stories about the New York and Miami restaurant scene with my good friend Jonathan Eisman.